couple more things about the husband, wife, and the home from the book of Genesis. Some super, super things God has to say. I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist. I don't know anything about what they're saying. When I teach from the Word of God. I'll tell you what God has to say, and I don't know about what psychiatrist, if that'll work out for you or not, but one thing I know, if Almighty God speaks and you put that in your life, it's going to work, because God is a performer of His Word. He watches over His Word to perform it. Every time. Now, we're in verse 22. This is a passage people shy away from. I love this passage. Once you understand something, you think, oh, my, isn't that wonderful. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to your own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hates his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I don't know if you've ever captured that verse, but he wasn't really talking about marriage. He was talking about Christ and the church and using marriage as an example of the relationship of Christ and the church so that you would understand Christ and the church. And he said, if you understand marriage, you'll understand the relationship that Christ has, the head of the church, to the body, and we're the body. So he's talking about marriage, but he's talking about Christ and the church and using marriage as his example. Now turn over to Genesis. I'm going to fly because time flies. That clock, I think it does double time back there. Thank you for letting me go over last week. Well, you may not have let me, but I did anyway. When God created Adam, I love this. I would. I'm a woman. Chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. He took one look and he said, this man needs help. I know that's what happened. And he said, I'm going to create somebody to help him. Now, this is profound as I get. You know what a helpmeet is? It's someone who helps. And sometimes wives don't help, they hinder. I remember years ago, Wayne wanted to go in the construction business. He worked all his life for the city of Lakeland. And he wanted to branch out and do some construction. He was very, very capable because he was an architectural draftsman in the beginning. And I was afraid. I liked the salary. I liked the insurance. I like all those things, you know, that come at the end of the month. And I was afraid, and I wouldn't help him. I discouraged him until finally he didn't even make any attempt to fulfill his dream. Now, women are helpmeets. That's when you help somebody meet their goal, help somebody meet their vision, help somebody put their life together. This is why I believe women have such emotional capacity. Now, you know, if you married a man and he was green when you married him, 10 years later, he's still green. Or if he's pink or purple, he's still the same. Men aren't very flexible. Have you noticed that, ladies? But if you marry a woman, she's like a chameleon. And you understand I didn't say that because you'd be married anything but a woman. Just realized how I said that. Women are like chameleons. You put a chameleon on a concrete, he'll turn gray. You put him on wood, he turns brown. Here's the reason. Because they were designed by Almighty God to be helpmeets. And they have that great capacity to shift with this man who's somewhat rigid and inflexible, who's there to keep the woman in line. And men tend to go down a straight line. I said, if Wayne Cumby ever gets lost, look for him on Main Street, Central Avenue, First Street. I mean, he's not a side road person. But women bounce all over the planet. But they do that because they're designed by God to fit in. You know, if you open your clock, Wayne has his grandmother's clock. It was made in the 1890s. And we had it repaired a couple of times. And it has all those little cogs and wheels that move together. And women are designed to see which direction the man is moving and to help him move. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to find your place. Now, I found this out, I'd say quite by accident, but I'm sure the Lord was leading me. One day, Wayne couldn't find something. Now listen, if you married Barry Long, you know where the man needs help. And that's not derogatory. God wouldn't send a helper if somebody didn't need help. Amen. And so he wanted to find something. I knew right where it was. I said, it's in the second drawer of the secretary. And he opened the secretary drawer, and it was there, and he pulled it out. And something on the inside floated up, and I just about exploded. I didn't know what that was. I couldn't explain that. I mean, it just went, and suddenly I realized I had fulfilled the responsibility that Almighty God had given me. I had been the helpmeet. And the Holy Ghost on the inside was just confirming that to me. You know, and I told this at seminars. One lady said she'd had that very same experience, and she didn't know what it was. Now, Wayne Cumby, we've been married 40 years. This is not derogatory. If you need help, you need help. He can't find anything. He just can't find it. He can't find it if you tell him where it is. He just can't find it. So I found out if I'm going to be the helpmeet, I fit in with him, and I keep track of things. Now, we lost his car keys 2 or 3 weeks ago. We still haven't found them. I get up in the morning, and I say, oh, where can the car keys be? I mean, the car key, the post office box key, the house key, I mean, they're somewhere. And that's my job as the helpmeet, is to keep track of things. Now, the other thing, he doesn't remember birthdays. His mother's birthday is January the 5th. And right after Christmas, I say, you know, we just decided she's in her 80s what to get her for Christmas. Now we got to decide what to get her for her birthday. It's just real horrendous. And so I say, you know, your mother's birthday's coming up. He said, yes, yes, I know that. Well, on the birthday, I say, you know, today's your mother's birthday. You know what he says to me? What'd we get her? You know, he hasn't thought of it one time since I mentioned it to him. Hasn't thought of it one time. And I said, well, okay, this is the year. Do you want, this is the year for the candy? She loves candy. Or the flowers or the bedroom slippers? Which, which year is this? He depends upon me. Now, your husband depends upon you. You're the helpmeet. You will never have satisfaction in life taking the lead. You weren't designed to take the lead. You were designed to be the chameleon and to find out where the leader is going and to fit in and see that he got to his destination. Amen. And that's the truth. And there's such satisfaction in that. You know, if you have a helpmeet, an assistant, if you have you're an executive, you have a secretary, she's not calling the shots and telling you what to do. You're telling her what to do. Now, some things she does automatically. You have reports that are due the 10th of every month. Some things she knows that she's to do. Wayne's had wonderful secretaries over the year, wonderful secretaries, and I'd call. And the one thing, Wayne Cumby is hard to keep track of. He's a real challenge because he never developed the habit of leaving you a note. And when he retired, I just thought we were going to have a war over this note thing. And I very politely said, I try not to raise my voice. I said, Wayne Cumby, if you get up at 6 o'clock and go somewhere, you better leave me a note. Because if you don't, I'm going to pitch a fit. I think you ought to give warning. Don't you guys appreciate warning? Boy, I do. I used to warn my children. I said, listen, it's not a good day to cross up your mother. You cross up your mother today, you're going to regret it. I just believe warning them, call them like it is. And my children appreciate that. And I'd say, you know, your daddy's not in good humor today. Why don't you go play in your room? And they'd go, cling. They'd know I meant that. Because we're laboring together, working together. Well, find out where the old boy needs help and help him. And you know, on the inside, I can guarantee you on the inside, because you are the helpmeet, something good is going to happen. Now look over at 1 Timothy. Oh, let me read you one in Genesis. Let's just work hard while we're here. Look at Genesis 3:16. Let's read the King James, and then I'll tell you what the New Living says. This is after sin. Unto the woman he said, this is Almighty God, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, which is pain, and thy conception. In pain thou shalt bring forth children, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall what? What does it say? Rule. It has to do with govern, reign. Now that's identical to what Ephesians said, and that's why I went back and read Ephesians. I wanted you to see. Women weren't designed. You don't have the capacity to rule over the old boy. He has the capacity to rule over you, and you're the chameleon. Isn't that good news to know your part and to fit in? Now, there's always somebody doesn't like that, so let me read you the New Living. You know, this is my last Wednesday, so I'm headed home, so it's all right. The New Living says your desire is to control your husband, but he will rule over you.
That's what it said.
And you know what I find out? Women that are offended by that are women that really were destined. They thought they were destined to be in charge. And here's the deal, ladies. Please let's help one another. When I see a beautiful painting, I say, look at that. I love that. Don't you love that? Look at the color. I love colors. The more colors, the reds and the oranges. Probably the only one on the planet that likes orange. I don't like yellow, though. But you give me red, you give me orange, you give me hot pink, I am a happy person. And I say, look at that, Wayne, look at that. And he'll say, yeah, that's good, isn't it? Is that what they do to you? Oh, we thank you, Father. So I've been teaching Wayne, trying to get him to come over on my side of the curb. And so now he's a fake, is what he is. And I say, oh, you love that? Don't you love that? And he's, I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, here's why I told you that. Women that are inclined to take charge generally take charge because they feel like their husband is not spiritual enough and he is going to make some mistake, lead them astray, and it's because he doesn't respond like you thought he should respond. And I got a clue for you. Men only use half of their brain. That's medically true. They don't have the connections between women. That's why women bounce. Their brain, they go from one side of the brain to the other. Blam, 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 blam. And this man is just going right down the path. See, and if Wayne said, I've heard from God, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, then I'd feel better about him hearing from God. When he comes in and says, I think I've heard from God, I'm not too excited about that. And then I think, I don't know if you heard from God or not. Anybody with that shallow up response. And it's not shallow. It is the way they are. And if you get over it and just know they're not going to jump as high as you jump, run as fast as you run, shout as loud as you shout, but they are going to hear from God and they are going to lead the household and they're not going to lead you astray. And if you would trust them. Now look, Proverbs 31, while I said trust, we'll just read a verse. This is that virtuous woman. She drives me crazy. She is one busy woman. I read this the other day and I thought, whoo! Husbands and wives, trust one another. Wayne, trust me that when I get through shouting loud, jumping high and running fast, that I land on my feet and come home. And I trust him that he's heard from God, even though he didn't shout as loud as I thought he would. He wasn't as responsive. See, it's when men don't respond like you thought they would respond, then you're not so certain they heard from God. If you're not so certain they heard from God, you're inclined to take the lead yourself. I mean, after all, he's going to lead this marriage astray. And then most of the time, it's you that did it. Now look, chapter 31, verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. He trusts you. Now we're going to trust him. In spite of the fact that his response was not as loud as I liked. Now I'm shifty. I move everything in my house. I can move a lot of it by myself because I got me some furniture movers. Have you seen those furniture movers on the TV? Go get you some. Those will work. And I just shift things. I can move everything but the grand piano. I can't move that by myself. And when I shift something's in a different position, I have got in my house, how many sofas have we got? One, two, three, four. And I move them all. I've got them color coordinated so I can move them to different rooms and they'll still all match up. And I moved the antique pine out here in the TV room, the sunroom we call it. And then I moved the one in the sunroom into the dining room behind the dining room table. And then I took the little one that was the red plaid that was in the bedroom and I shifted that into the living room. I was so happy. I thought, oh, does that look better? Don't you feel better? Wayne said, yeah. I And I thought, boy, he's not tuned in. But maybe he is. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Give it up, ladies. Just give it up. He can't do it. He just can't do it. Now to 1 Timothy. Are y'all right so far? Nobody's been injured? Oh, I worship you, our Father. Where is 1 Timothy? You know, two things happen to me. The deeper I get in the Spirit, one is I can't remember people's names, as you know, from last week. And the other thing is I can't remember my books of the Bible. I memorize them. There's a difference in the spirit and the brain. And the books of the Bible are in my head, so I can rattle them off. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Ruth, 1 Kings, 1 Samuel. But when I get really deep in the Spirit, I think, Matthew. Where is that? Now look. Chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Timothy. I found it. It's a miracle. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. When the household is not in proper order, it gives grounds for the enemy to take over, to do damage. And this is the woman's responsibility. Now, you know, Holy Ghost is, I mean, he's amazing to me. Just amazing, God the Holy Ghost. I was reading this, and I just noticed it says the women marry, and then it says bear children. You did notice the order of that, didn't you? And I heard this, these words floated up from my spirit. Young women, unmarried women, have the ability to bear children, but not the right to bear children. And we just would teach it like God said it. We'd have some results, wouldn't we? Said, I know what you can do. I know your ability. I know your capacity. But you don't have that right until you marry. That's what I heard. That has nothing to do with what I'm saying tonight. That's free. Now it says guide the house. You know what it means to guide the house? This is the most amazing thing. It means to be the head of the house. It's talking to women. And it says to the women, you can look that up in Vines. You can look it up at Strong's. It says to guide the house means to be the head of the house. You know what the head of the house does? The wash machine. The dishwasher. The stove. The dryer, the vacuum cleaner, the broom. I said to Wayne, you want to be the head of the house? He said, I am the head of the house. I said, fine with me. And then I pointed this out to him. That it has to do with management and direction given to household affairs. And you go back to Ephesians. I don't want to throw you a curveball, but listen. You guys are not the head of the house, and neither were you ever the head of the house. And nor do you want to be. What does Ephesians say you are? The head of the wife who manages your household. Isn't that good? You know, I think when we get it right and get it together, it's a wonderful thing. Now, let me show you another verse. 1 Timothy has some things to say. Look at chapter 3. She's going to guide your house. Chapter 3, verse 4, talks about the bishop. Who's the pastor, the shepherd? Gives us some clue about men in general. It says, one that rules his own house, having his children in subjection. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Talks about rule, and that word is in the very sense to take care of, to rule the house, to take care of the house. And it means to take the forefront, to be out front, to lead the way. You know, that's what Daniel Boone did. It is. You know your history, don't you? He got out there in front of the wagon trains, the people that wanted to go west. He found the pathway, opened the door for them, found how to get through the mountains, knew the seasons, when it would snow and when you'd get trapped. He knew all those things, and he led the way. And this word rule means the husband is out there in front of the wife who's back home managing the household, Now, if your wife works 8 hours a day, this is not going to work too good for you. You're going to have to help her manage the house. If she helps you with the finances, you do have to help her manage the house. And I can't apologize for saying that, because I believe that with every fiber of my being. But say she is at home with the children, managing the house. That's the person punches all the buttons. Doom, 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 you know. They don't have to give many buttons. If they just say on and off, that's about as far as I go in all those machines. 1 year our toaster broke. I'm not too moved by machines, so I just threw it out. We just didn't have a toaster. I mean, who needs a toaster? So my children went to their grandfather and said, "Granddaddy, we don't have a toaster." And my daddy calls me on the phone. He says, "You don't have a toaster, Becky Sue?" I said, "Well, we did, but it died." He said, "Those only cost $10, you know, at the place where everybody goes and gets the stuff." I said, "Yeah, I know, probably. I haven't looked, but probably that's right." Here he comes the next day with a toaster. What is he doing? Leading the way. What's the husband supposed to do? He's supposed to be Daniel Boone. And you're supposed to come behind in the covered wagon with all your food supplies, build a campfire, line those children up underneath the wagon at bedtime while he stands guard to protect. That's where it's supposed to be. Now, have I got good news for you? You don't have a husband. I'll tell you what to do. No weapon formed against you will prosper. That's the scripture. Almighty God is the Father of your children. He will protect. He will guide. The same Holy Ghost that gives wisdom to a husband and wisdom to a wife will give wisdom to a single mom to guide her household. She has to take the lead. There's no one else to do it. She has to also stay behind and build the campfire. There's no one else to do it. But Almighty God enables and graces and provides and sets up, and you will not be destroyed because you are alone. Now, when we go through talk about children, and you talk to Timothy, it says Timothy had faith like his grandmother and his mother. Well, where was the dad? Some of the strongest men who have affected my life have been raised by single mothers. And they stand at the forefront of our movement, following God. See, somebody comes along and cons single parents and lets them know you will never make it and your children will never make it, and that is a lie from hell. God is able to equip a little mom to take the lead and stay behind. And here's what he does. God is so gracious. He'll send an uncle or a grandfather to help you with your children. Just about every time. You know, God is not dumb. One man that we knew, he had two boys. Every time we saw him, he had four boys. Every time. He said, "We're going to the racetrack." Did a lot of racetrack, and that was his thing. "We're going fishing." And we talked to him. And he always had these four boys, his two and these two. So one day we inquired, and he said, "Oh, well, their dad doesn't live at home anymore." And he said, "If I take my boys, I always take them." See, something good is going to happen to you. There's life after divorce. Now, we don't sanction divorce, but if you're divorced, you can't unscramble that. If you are, you are. So trust and obey. God will work it out your way. Now, here's the other thing I want to show you from 1 Timothy. Chapter 5, verse 10. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. But it's better to have a mother and a father in the same home, but if you don't, you don't. God will help you. Jesus can fix it. You know that old song, yeah, 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 Jesus can fix it. Y'all don't know that one? This is the church trying to decide which widows to support. You know, there's no social security system. The church is going to support the widows. They're trying to decide which widows need support. And this is the criteria. The criteria for the widows the church is going to support is written in the scripture. I love this. I love this. I love this. Verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number, another of church support, under 80 years, having been the wife of one man. That's 60. She has to be at least 60. Well reported of for good works. She has to be someone who's done good works. What good works? They're listed in here so we will not be confused. What is the first good work we're looking for in this widow that the church is going to support? Having brought up children, lodged strangers, washed the saints' feet, relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Those are the four good works they're looking for in the church-supported widow. Now, if we say relieve the afflicted, that means she's when somebody's in trouble, she's there to help. Oh, we've got that. We understand that. That's good, isn't it? Or it says there's no Holiday Inn, so it says lodge strangers. You know, and by law, if somebody came and came at dusk and sat down under the roof of your house, that was kind of like the Holiday Inn, and you were by law to keep them until morning and to protect them as part of your household. Just like if you stayed at a major motel and you were in some trouble and you called down at the desk. It'd help you, see, and if they come at dusk, because there's nowhere else to say. So if we say, you know, you keep strangers in your home, if someone's in trouble, you help them, you wash the saints' feet, you know, if the saints need anything, your brothers and sisters, you're right there for them. And right there in that list, which we understand, is having brought up children. Now, this is important because women are all the time telling, but I'm not doing anything. When you stay home with your children, sometimes you feel guilty. But Almighty God said, this is the four things I want you to do. Take care of the afflicted. Meet the needs of the saints. Be hospitable and bring up godly children. Now, it's just the woman's prerogative. Don't you like that? Isn't that a relief? Somebody asks you what you do. You say, I'm raising children. So what do you do? I'm raising children. What do you do? I'm raising children. Listen, you have children that don't go to hell. And God will be well pleased. And He'll help you. Oh, He'll help you. Now it says, children obey your parents in the Lord. Doesn't say children obey your mother. Doesn't say children obey your father. And it doesn't say parents obey your children. Let's get it right. Wayne and I were we were at some airport. We do airports. I love airports. If I go to the airport and I don't get to get on the plane, I get upset. I just love to fly out somewhere, teach the Word of God, get back on that plane, fly home. But this family had two of the most disobedient children I've ever come across. And we were waiting for the plane to come in, you know, waiting at the airport. And they're over here, you know, all the seats lined up and run. We're sitting here and they're sitting here. And Wayne elbowed me and he said, I hope they're not in our section of the plane. We both laughed. And everything those children did, Mom obeyed. Most obedient mother I've ever seen in my life. And the mother would say, you need to sit down now. No, Mama, no, Mama, no, Mama, no, Mama, no, Mama. I can't sit down, I can't sit down, I can't. All right, stand up, it's all right. And so we got on our seat 23 B and C. And I guess you know who was next door. And it's a 9-hour flight. From Moscow to New York, 9 hours. That's a lot of no mothers, no mothers, no mothers. And that little mother and that little father never one time, not one time, made those children obey. Those were the most obedient, humble parents I've ever seen, and the stupidest. Now, when your little wife is home guiding the house, running the household, managing household affairs, and you're out leading the way to provide for her financially and to protect her and to stand by her side and to love her as Christ loved the church, then the mother and daddy come together and the mother and daddy decide what the children should do and shouldn't do according to the scripture. And the children obey. Now, here's the thing you may not have seen. That's not all it says. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor. Children are not just supposed to obey, they're supposed to honor. If all they do is obey, you haven't won yet. Now you're on your way. This is obedience is a good thing. And that same word honor is used of God. We talk about honoring God, honoring great men of God with double honorarium, with double finances. And then it says children honor. It means to prize or to value. I mean, those children love you and they respond to godly discipline. What one translation, the King James says beat, which throws Americans a curve because it is against the law to beat your children. But one translator says firm correction. When you give firm correction and those children obey you, here's what's going to happen. Look at Proverbs 31. I'm going to talk more about children if I don't change my mind Sunday night. I'm pretty sure that I am. I'm just giving you a taste of where we're going. Verse 28, final chapter of Proverbs. Well, let's read 27. Let's just prove our point. She looks well to the ways of her household, eats not the bread of idleness. That means you're not sitting around watching the soaps. You're working. She looks well to the ways of her household, eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband blesses her and he praises her. When is the last time, sir, that you praised your wife? When you came home and the supper was on the table, or was at least cooking. When you said, hey, honey, thanks, that's so special. No, you came in and said, what are we going to eat? I'm hungry. No wonder your marriage is not going too well. You're so rude. Get the children to pipe down. I am tired. And she's not tired. It says you're going to praise her. Some days, I mean, one day Wayne came, Joel was little. Our children were, well, they're like in first and second grade. That's how close they were together. And Wayne came home from work, and he opened the back door, and I took Joel, picked him up where he was, hollering, screaming, and shoved him right in Wayne's arms. Now, wise father and husband knows, well, I think Becky's had it today. Do you love her? Praise her. Some days if she just got her hair combed, she's doing good. I said, wow, honey, you look great. Don't even look at the ketchup that's down the front of the shirt. Wayne and I were eating one night. You know, women make messes, men make messes too. It's evil, Stephen, when I teach, I try to lay everybody low, men and women alike. Is that working?
Yes.
We were eating and Wayne got something blue on your shirt. What was it? Blueberries or something? And I said, take it off, put shout on it, lay it on the washer. I'll get to it tomorrow. Why? Because I'm the head of the house. I am? You ask him how many times he's plugged in the washer and how many times he's turned the knob. And then you'll know that I'm running the house. And so the next night, we're eating something, right down the front of his shirt. I said, well, just take it off, put shout on it, throw it on a washer with the other one. So we go out to eat. I had on my yellow, just had taken it out of the washing machine and the dryer. Had on my yellow shell. Where were we eating? I forget. I mean, we hadn't eaten 5 minutes before I ruined my yellow shell right down the front. And Wayne said, take that to the washer, put shout on it, and get to it in the morning. Amen.